Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall and you're listening to episode 3 of the Downtime Podcast, where we take you inside the world of elite mountain bike performance. Before we speak to this week's guest, I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone that's been in touch. It's great to hear that you're enjoying what we're doing. Keep the feedback coming and keep the iTunes reviews flowing in. If you want to keep in touch and find out more about upcoming episodes, then you can find us on www.downtimepodcast.com or on social media. We're Downtime Podcast on Instagram, Downtime Tweets on Twitter, and The Downtime Podcast on Facebook. Okay, let's talk to this week's guest. We're really lucky to have Canyon Factory Racing Enduro pinner, Justin Leov. We talk about Justin's approach to learning trails, the tips that he's had from Fabian Burrell, what went on their recent training camp, the importance of goal setting, and also what impact having kids has had on his riding. I hope you enjoy the episode. Justin Leov, welcome to the Downtime Podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So let's start off. We'll wind the clock back a little bit. It's 2012 and you decided that it's time to bring an end to your downhill racing career. At that point, had you already decided that you would race enduro, or did you just feel like you needed a break from the sport at that time?
No, actually, at that time, I really just had my sights set on getting away from the biking and, you know, moving careers. I'd, you know, taken on doing a building apprenticeship, and that was kind of the next chapter for me. Enduro was basically starting to get a bit of popularity, and, you know, races were starting to pop up. And, you know, at first I didn't really know what it was about, but then, you know, it started to get a bit more mainstream, and then, you know, the concept of it actually came quite interesting for me. And it was sort of around the same time that Trek were, you know, quite keen to get into the enduro, as of most teams and most companies. So there was a bit of an offer to, although I was still working full-time in New Zealand, there was a bit of an offer for me to come over and try a few races for them and just sort of give it a go, because I guess they were testing the waters as well. So, you know, I made a few trips out and did some of the racing and was hooked straight away. So I didn't expect it, and it was never the plan, but, it didn't take long and I was setting my sights on returning back to racing.
So that was 2013, I think, was it? You did a couple of rounds of the EWS that year.
Yeah. Yep. And, we were still basically, that wasn't Trek Factory Racing at that point in time. I was still riding for Martin's program, Martin Whiteley, Trek World Racing. So we just basically did a small little program. It was just myself and Mechanic and Swanier, and we went around to some of the races and really got a feel for it.
Cool. And what was it that hooked you into enduro then? You said you were hooked straight away. What did you enjoy?
I think really, it was just the amount of bike time you got, because, you know, although I was really enjoying downhill, really I feel like, especially in the last few years when I was racing, is you just don't get enough bike time at an event, and especially training as well can be quite different. You know, you're doing a lot of shuttle runs, and, you know, like I was just really craving that hop on your bike and go for a pedal and you know, get a lot of enjoyment out of a process I could do myself. I didn't have to rely on hopping on a chairlift. I didn't have to have anyone shuttling me. And it was just seemed a simpler way of enjoying my sport. So, yeah, when I went to the enduro, it was basically like that. You know, you rode just about all day. A lot of stuff was, you know, like self-sufficient, having to ride up, or if you did use a lift, like what we did in those first few years, we were just getting these long runs, you know, 20, 30 minute runs sometimes, which was just a great concept for me. It was fresh and I guess that's more what really hooked me in.
Cool. And you worked your way up the learning curve fairly quickly, I think. So third overall in 2014, and then your first win at Peebles in 2015. What were the main kind of things that you learned on the way up that curve? What were the big, the aha moments where you thought, oh, I'm starting to understand this and I see how to approach this kind of racing now?
Yeah, well, I guess it was, I was probably training more for enduro without knowing it in my last years of downhill. Like I was doing longer rides just because I enjoyed pedaling my bike. I was still doing intervals and sprints and those sorts of things as well that you had to do for downhill. But by doing those longer rides, I think I was conditioning myself for longer runs than what we actually had in downhill. So when I got along to the enduro, I just seemed to suit those runs. I could hold on for a 10-minute or 15-minute stage, and actually when I look back on it, the longer stages suited me the most. So I started to develop this mindset and confidence around anything that was physical, anything that was long, was just going to suit me down to the ground. So, yeah, they become exciting, and, I started to get better at them. And I could see straight away when I first did the first enduros that my speed was there, and I, maybe wasn't as specifically conditioned for those races like I would be now, but still I could see that the potential that I had in myself and where I was finishing in those stages, that I could really give it a good crack and actually do some damage on those weekends.
Excellent. So one of the key things with enduro racing, I guess, is that you, unlike downhill where you get many practice runs over the duration of the week before the actual race, you get very limited runs down a trail, and you've got to try and do your best to kind of learn that trail or to find ways of getting down it quickly. How do you approach that? Have you got any tips for people on how to kind of think fast and how to read trails?
Yeah, I think a lot of that comes down from experience. Like, you have to train your reactions. And when I say that, it's nothing specific. It's just, from riding your bike more and more and being in situations, riding fast in situations that are either slippery or you're unsure of the line, and having to make reactions, really work towards you. That helps. Coming from downhill, that was the big challenge, because obviously we've got a full day of practice, even, two or three sometimes. So you really learn every single rock, every single route, where your braking points and, to come to enduro and you've only got one run, everything has to be at hyper speed. You've just got to be able to recognize, those areas that really can be dangerous, or you can make time, or there's an option. So I guess the biggest piece of advice is don't get overwhelmed with it. If your memory's not good, I would suggest you just pick the real key areas of a track that need to be remembered, and that might be like areas where you may crash, and there's always a few on a track, so there might be a drop, there might be a chute, or some sketchy line that if you're going to miss it you're going to crash, or a corner that's going to come up. So those are your most important pieces, so yeah, you try and remember them first, and that can be as simple as you just have to make a mental note, maybe two corners back from a drop there's a tree with a branch broken that's very noticeable, and just make a mental picture of that, because you need something to trigger you in the run to know that section and what's coming up. As you get more advanced, obviously, you start being able to link corner to corner and sections to sections, and it's kind of a similar thing, really. It's just building a triggers in your brain that remember those sections, remember those corners, and then just overlaying it in your brain so that you can get a picture of the way down the course. And I think that for most people is just the more you do it, the more you work on it and practice it actively, the better you get at it.
Interesting. So do you do anything in your training program to try and help you improve that side of things? Like, do you go and ride things blind, or ride trails that you don't know very well and try and do that in practice as well as at the races?
I have been actually this off season. I had a good conversation with Fabian Burrell after the season last year, and sort of picked his brains, because he's probably one of the experts at memorizing courses, in my opinion, especially when you get to go on a ground level with him and see how he approaches the events. And one thing that we sort of talked about is going to races in the off season and really working on only doing one practice run and then one race. It's so easy at our local races and our national races to go there and just, you know, put in 4, 5, 6 runs on a course before you race it. But that's not realistic of what a EWS race is. And I know, although my speed will come up majorly from that, it's not realistic to what I'm going to have at an EWS. So, yeah, I've taken it back a level and now just putting more effort into that one run. And that can be, for the most part, just really being aware when you drop in and looking at that run on that sight lap, more conscious of all those details and trying to, obviously find those triggers that you will remember for the next run, or even if, it's not going to be the next run, but you might be 2 days later at your race, being able to pick up that information 2 days later and roll with it and be as quick as you can. So, yeah, it's been a sort of focus this off-season, and I actually feel pretty good now that, obviously I probably can't get to the same degree that some guys get to where, you might be able to photographically memorize the whole course from one run, but I feel like I have it good enough now that the main sections, you're going to be on the right line come your second run or your race run.
Excellent. So have you found it really useful having someone like Fabian on the team then? Have you picked up lots of good information from him?
Well, I've actually only had one race together, and that was Whistler last year after I returned from my illness. So it has been very valuable, that one race. And then obviously we've had a team camp just a few weeks ago in Nice, and I got to pick his brains a bit more. So, yeah, obviously doing a whole season with him would have been amazing. But, having those conversations we've had at that race, working together, and then also at this team camp, I've got a lot out of it. And, his approach too, the little things that he uses to remember those triggers, and just little processes. How everyone does something slightly different. You can pick pieces that sort of help you and you can relate to.
So do you chat to other riders at races and try and understand how they're approaching things as well? Does that help you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got other friends. Jared Graves, I was a teammate with him. Went back in the Yeti years. My first pro contract actually was with Yeti, and had Jared as a teammate then. So we talked a lot about training, and that's crossed over to enduro. We've both sort of had to figure it out, and we talk quite openly about what works. I know for a fact that Jared also approaches his training runs quite a bit different to other people as well. You typically will see some of the Europeans, especially the French, stopped on the side of the track looking at every single turn, repeating those turns. It's a 2-3 hour process to actually ride their sighting lap.
Right.
Where Jared's probably more approaches it how I do, where, we're looking for the triggers, but we're not prepared to ride every single corner and every single part of that track, pushing back up and doing a section. So we try and do it in our run as a sight run, but almost as a continuous run with maybe a couple of stops in it. So, you're talking about maybe doing a 10-minute stage in 15 or 20 minutes as opposed to 2 or 3 hours.
Okay.
That's really the difference.
And do you think that gives you more of a feel for the flow of the trail, or are you doing it because it's less hours on the bike and you have more energy for race day? What do you think are the positives of that approach?
I think it's a bit of both. You've obviously got to save energy for the race. That's really important. And, by repeating a course and spending hours on your feet, that's energy used, and, you've obviously got to recover from that. And the other side of it is, you've got limited time for training. So if you can if you can do your training, what you need to do, and get back and actually put your feet up, well, that's a little bit of recovery and rest. And, you know, if you've used something like a helmet cam run, you know, you potentially can sit down with that and do a little bit more work watching the helmet cam than what you would do, you know, going back and forth on the trail. And then, as you spoke about the flow of the trail, you know, that's one thing I find really helpful is knowing, you know, where your speed lies into some of those sections, especially, you know, like the climbs sometimes where you'll come onto a climb and you just don't really know how tired you're going to be. So an example of that is, you know, if you rode that climb and then dropped into the next technical section and even at riding it at 70 or 80%, you see how tired you are and you realize that, okay, I'm probably not going to be able to jump the things that I really want to in here. If you'd stopped and just sessioned out those sections afterwards, you'd sort of have this, you know, perception that you can do all these things on that next bit of trail where, you know, you add the fitness element and the fatigue into there. You find a different story in your race run. So, yeah, that can be something. Forgetting the trail flow and piecing it together that way, I think it's quite important. I think all of these things, there's no real right and wrong way. I just think that you've got to figure out whether you're a rider who wants to, you know, do 10 runs of a corner, pushing back up and going over and over until you've figured it out, or whether you want to be a rider who, you know, adapts quickly, saves your energy, and then is looking at the whole stage and the whole weekend as a big picture type thing.
Cool. You mentioned that you've been on team camp recently out in France. Are you able to talk us through a little bit about what goes on a team camp? I know you've done quite a lot of testing. I'd be interested to find out a little bit about what sort of things maybe you were trying and whether that's all against the clock or more on feel, and get into a bit of the detail of that if that's cool.
Yeah, no worries. So like this one was really important because I've done a few races in the off season. They've just been fun races, but they've been in Rotorua where the EWS is going to be held in March. And part of that series I've just been approaching with my regular bike, which is the Strive. I have it set up with a 180 fork and for the most part I've had a coil shock on the back, big tires, and you know, my typical EWS setup for the more burly tracks. And one thing I've been realizing is I get to those races and they're so physical, but they're just so much more physical than what we have overseas typically at an EWS, that I'm just working so hard and losing a lot of time. And it really made me click that I need to, for this race, get on something shorter travel, a faster bike, in terms of how it reacts, more playful bike, and something that can just go when I want to put on the power down onto the pedals. So I sort of said to my team, is there a chance I can get on the, you know, the 140 Spectral? Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a bike that we're going to, you know, use in Rotorua and potentially Australia and potentially Ireland. So there's three sort of races that it sort of makes sense to have it for. So they said yes. I've never ridden one. So part of the camp was getting over there to set that bike up. And although we were doing it in Nice, which is quite the other spectrum, you know, side of the spectrum to Rotorua, I still wanted to dial in the suspension and make sure that it felt comfortable for size and geometry, and then bring it back and put it into the Rotorua environment and test. So a lot of it was, when we set it up, was suspension and getting it to, you know, set up for me. You know, obviously I've been on that 180 fork on my big bike. I call it the big bike. That's my Strive. So going to the Spectral, you know, I was having to play around and work out, you know, really where I wanted to sit. And then, trying to get the suspension to feel the way I wanted it for Rotorua, and that was a bike that could still...
So that's where we lost Justin, but a little bit of jiggery pokery and we managed to get him back. So let's get back to the episode. Hey, sorry about that, Justin. I think we lost you. Bit of a gremlin in the Skype call there.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's probably a bit of my rural internet here in New Zealand.
Awesome.
So, going back to what I was saying, the big thing of the team camp was to get a bike set up that would, come back to Rotorua and I'd be comfortable on. I'd have a fast, nippy bike and, could really take some time. So, we worked a lot on that. We also, because I was there and we were working on suspension, we were working on setup, we took another look at my big bike as well, my Strive. And there were some characteristics. I was riding a coil shock on there and, although I was pretty happy with the overall feel of that, I was definitely not happy with the weight that it brings to the bike. So one of my comments in the off season has been, were we able to get one of the air shocks, the Monarch Pluses, feeling closer to that coil in some respects, but keeping that weight down. So yeah, we worked really hard on that. And for the test too is, to be able to walk away from that, week there and have two bikes that you were just a little bit more comfortable with. And obviously the Spectral was a brand new bike for me. So having that, set up that I could take back to Rotorua, and throw it into one of the local races, which I just had last week, and actually see the real difference was really valuable. So, it was a good time and got a lot out of it.
And what sort of characteristics do you look for in your suspension? How do you like the fork and the shock to feel? Do you have a particular style?
Yeah, so for me, you really want that the tracking. So you want a nice supple feeling front and rear. Basics for me are having it completely even. Like I don't have any difference between the front and the back in terms of one stiffer or, they both should be, to me, feeling very balanced. And then the next step is after you've got the supple feeling, it needs to have a good mid-stroke support. And that really pays for itself when you're pedaling or coming through braking bumps. I don't want the thing wallowing down or, being too active, I guess, on the terrain. And then the third thing is it needs to be able to really hold up in that end part of the stroke. So to put that kind of in easy terms, when you fill it up with volume spaces, you typically get, that support. So you can send it off, you can get wild on something and it's not just going to completely bottom out and then throw you off the trail. So yeah, we typically go a little bit more on the volume spaces and then a little bit down on the air pressure, but then there also needs to be a tiny bit of tuning to get that mid stroke, feeling reasonably firm and still sort of supple there without being a rock, having a elastomer in your bike.
Okay, and how much of that setup is likely to change from race to race, and how do you go about approaching it when you turn up at a new race venue? What kind of things do you look to change on your bike, and how do you go about that?
Yeah, well, actually, to me, for the enduro, because we're not talking downhill here, with a downhill track, you'd be changing every single weekend and making, sometimes you're making reasonably major adjustments if you're going from a flat track to a steep track. But we actually have a mixture. In most enduros, there's a bit of everything. So we have physical, we have really steep and, sections. So there's always going to be a compromise. So I guess that's the difference. We try and set up now a middle ground that can get us through most situations, and then once we've got those fundamentals, it's just about minor tune adjustments or swapping out a bike. One of the examples there is I'll run a very similar tune suspension for Rotorua, maybe a little bit more compression, but the basics will be the same in terms of volume spaces, air pressure, and tokens. Sorry, I might have said that already. But then we'll go to Whistler. I'll get on the big bike, which will go up and travel. It will be a very similar feeling and same setup, but we're talking, you know, 180 fork. We're talking, you know, probably more on the tires and also bar height as well, you know, because the style of tracks there. So, yeah, there's not as much changing as probably a lot of people think. For me personally, I mean, I can't talk for everybody here, but, you know, like if we were racing one type of stage all weekend, then obviously you can tailor your bike into suit. But, yeah, with those, you know, with that sort of style of a mixture of terrain, you've got to get a middle ground and see where the time is for the weekend to set up for.
Interesting. And is everyone taking that kind of detailed approach to their bike setup in the enduro field, do you think? Or are you one of the guys that spends a bit more time on getting things just how you like it?
No, I think the front runners definitely are. I mean, you've got guys who really know the insides and bike setup. And I mean, if you talk to somebody like Nico Vuyors, I've had little chats with him, and you just realise that those guys are almost engineers themselves. They know what the, you know, just about everybody's bike manufacturing curve looks like for, you know, progressive. They know, you know, the suspension inside and out, and their level of tuning is really almost up with the guys that are actually building the stuff. So, and then you've got other guys who are probably just getting on there and riding it. So, yeah, you probably have quite a mixture, I think, in this sport. But yeah, like the front runners of course are going to have you know, a good setup and stuff that works for them and their own philosophies and why it helps them. And you know, I would think most guys are probably doing a setup camp of some description at the start of the year to get that where it needs to be.
Good stuff. Really interesting. I'm going to change tack a little bit. I wanted to just talk a bit about goals. How important is it for you to set goals for yourself for the season?
Well, I think it's what really gives you the question on why you do it, and helps you answer that, and also gives you the motivation of why you're doing the hours that you're doing, and you know, getting up in the morning and those things. I mean, for me, it's sort of what drives me to do the sport now, because there's certain goals that I feel like I can achieve and want to achieve, and they become more and more important as I get, you know, towards the end of my career. So I think that, without goals, you're kind of just aimlessly stabbing in the dark and riding your bike. And although that's cool and that's definitely for some people, it's definitely not for me and not for people, I think, who have that race drive and you know, want to achieve something specifically.
Yeah. And do you like to share those goals, or do you keep them to yourself? Do you find it easier if you share with other people, or?
Well, I mean, everybody probably has a few guarded things. I mean, it's quite easy to say you want to be the world champ and you want to do these things, but like, for me, it's like where I am at now in my career, it's about getting back up. Last year was a disaster in terms of, I was coming back from a shoulder injury and coming back from glandular fever. So the whole year was just a big catch up for me and a bit of a waste in terms of, where I wanted to be, you know, coming the previous year, you know, I was leading the series until I, had a fall and dislocated my shoulder. So, you know, now my goals are to get back to where I was 2 years ago and build on that. You know, I really do think that I can win races still. I've got the potential. I've learnt what it takes from being third in the series to actually be in the hunt. And then I also know in the back of my mind, if you've got guys like who are coming up, the younger riders who are right there and are fast, and they're only going to get quicker and quicker and quicker. So, yeah, setting those goals and wanting to be back to where I was and wanting to win races again is really what keeps you pushing and keeping those guys at bay a little bit.
Excellent, excellent. Should be a good season ahead then.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
Excellent.
That's good to be healthy again.
And have you found that having children has changed your approach to riding and training at all? And if so, how have you dealt with that?
Yeah, it has actually, and for the better. A lot of people say you lose time and wait till you have kids, it's going to slow you down, but I tend to not agree with that now after having two kids. I mean, you have to have a rock-solid relationship with your wife or your girlfriend because, you know, especially Victoria, my wife, she has to pick up a lot of the pieces when I'm not there, and she has to bring these kids up at the times I'm training hard and I'm away. But in saying that, how it works for us now is, you know, we've got quite a good balance. When I'm training, I'm off training. All my intention's gone to that. I do my session. I do it the best I possibly can. There's no mucking around because I know that, you know, my time's limited. I finish my training. I come back, and then I switch from, you know, training to father, and I get to unwind, and my mind gets to just give it a little bit of a break and thinking about racing and actually focus on the kids for, you know, some time. So I find it quite refreshing. When I was younger in the downhill, I remember just, you know, any waking moment I was thinking about racing, I was thinking about how you could go quicker and all these things. And although some of that's helpful, a lot of time is spent burning up just on, you know, thoughts that really probably aren't that helpful. So, yeah, now I find it quite refreshing. It's a good release. Come back from training, switch off into dad mode, do that, and then it's training time again, switch back into that, and it's very focused.
That's really cool. And just before we finish up, because we're getting towards the end of our time here today, but I noticed on Instagram this week that you've received a rather nice-looking, shiny new downhill bike. Is that just for a bit of fun, or have you got some other plans to use that over this year?
No, actually, that was on Canyon side, actually. They got one for all the team members and sent them out, and when they said, we're sending you a downhill bike, I was actually quite excited because I haven't had one since my last years on Trek, and, you know, the itch hasn't really been there, but I tell you, when I unboxed that thing and saw it, there was a bit of a moment where I thought, actually, you know, Crankworx downhill's kind of after the enduro, and it's a weekend off, so, yeah, there was a few sparks that sort of got relit, so I don't know what's going to happen from that, and it's definitely been at least 2 or 3 years since I've put my leg over a downhill bike, but yeah, no, it still gets me excited, and you know, it does all cross over. So yeah, you might see me on it at some stage in the next little while.
Excellent. Watch this space then. Well, thanks for your time today, Justin. I really appreciate it. If people want to find out a bit more about you, where can they find you on the internet?
Yeah, so basically I'm on all the channels. On Facebook, I've got Justin Leo Athlete. That's where I post most of my things. But Instagram now is just Team Leov. And, yeah, obviously Twitter as well, at Justin Leo. So, yeah, I should actually mention this time, I will be doing another diary entry, which I tend to do after every EWS round, and that gets put on Pink Bike and actually on most websites around the world. It gets translated, so I try to write more articles and race reports in terms of how we've discussed this. It's quite open. I explain my setups, I explain how the weekend went and the dramas that happen on a weekend, because you always do have dramas and lead up. So yeah, if you want to find out more specifics, keep an eye out for that diary entry. They'll be hitting sort of Pink Bike and different internet streams after each EWS, and yeah, I'll keep it as open as I can and honest as I can about my setup and how it's all been going.
Excellent, really good. Thank you for that. Well, best of luck for the season. Hope it goes well, and we'll look forward to seeing your results.
Thanks very much, Chris, and appreciate you having me on here.
Nice one. Cheers, man. Well, that's it for episode 3. I hope you enjoyed listening. Let us know with an iTunes review or get in touch via social media. Episode 4 will be dropping on the 21st of March, and I guarantee we've got some great guests lined up for you. If you can't wait that long, there's some really good podcasts out there, so check out the Hook It podcast or the Descent World podcast for more mountain bike related content. Until next time, get out and ride.